Mark Twain said, "The best way to cheer yourself up is to cheer everybody else up." The best way to cheer yourself up is to cheer everyone else up. This is instant inspiration from Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. What is this cheer? You know, we saw Cheers on television, which was a show that took place in a bar, and very charming and delightful people in the show. Or is cheer a little different? Is cheer what to bring smiles to our heart, to bring uplift to us when we may be down? That's the theme of Cheers, the bar. It's a place to go and get cheery, to forget your troubles and be happy. The best way to cheer yourself up is to cheer everyone else up. Now, many people go around and they're sort of comics. Not many, but a lot of people. I guess that's many. They go around and they're comics, and they can make people laugh. I have a cousin, Carl, and he's into, what all is he into? He's into electronics and engineering and stuff like that. And he is sort of a normal person, never too much of a smile on his face. And the people around him were pleasant, they enjoyed it, but he was usually a business type person. People thought of him as business, business, business. Now I have another cousin. What's his name?
Dick.
I have another cousin, Richard, we call Dick, who lives in Wisconsin. And Dick was born with a smile on his face and with laughter bubbling from his heart. And every breath he breathed brought joy to everyone who saw him. And today he's in his 70s, and people still have joy in their heart every time they see him, and their heart bubbles and jumps for happiness every time they hear him. Because he used to be a milkman. You know what a milkman is? A milkman is a man who delivers bottles of milk to the houses of people. And back in Wisconsin, that was quite something. And when I was a youngster, the milkman would come and put the milk outside the door, and sometimes quite early. And if you were not alert to get up and go get that milk in there, the milk would rise and stand right up off the top, and all the cream would be frozen right up on the top and pop right out of the bottle. It would not be lost because you take it in the house and you cut that part off with a knife and put it in a saucer while it melts, and your milk was nice and cool for your breakfast cereal, but a little less of cream than we wanted. That was the days before homogenized milk. Well, Dick delivered milk at that time, and he delivered for a long time after that. In fact, he delivered probably up until his retirement, which was maybe about 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, whatever. But he was the most liked milkman in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In whatever towns he serviced, wherever he went, all the people just thoroughly enjoyed him. Because if they saw him, he had a happy word for them to sparkle their day. If they didn't see him, they felt good by the vibrations he left on the milk bottles he left at their door. You see, we live in a very special world. And it's a world of energy and a world of vibrations. And when we share cheer and share happiness and share joy with the rest of the world, it just floods back on us. It can't help but do it. Because we are energy, and what do we create in our world? Energy. If we are listless, we create listlessness in our world. If we are unhappy, we create unhappiness in our world. We've been through all that before. Now, that's what goes on. That's what goes on. And we have to ask ourselves, well, why does Cousin Dick go around making everybody happy? Why does he do it? It's his nature. It's a little gene he was born with. It was called the happiness gene. And everyone has it, but he saw it right off the bat, and he just gave it a little extra kick, and he says, "I like that gene." And he says, "You and I are buddies." And all of his life, that gene and Dick have been doing great business everywhere they go. Now, Dick comes out here to California to visit. And he's been out here a number of times. And he visited at one time, I think it was him coming in the door, wasn't it? Yeah. One time I was giving a seminar, and he came to the door, and I thought he looked like the neighbor. And so I told whoever answered the door, I said, just tell him to come back later. We'll be done with our lecture here in about an hour. And then someone whispered in my ear, I think it was Ellen, she says, that's your cousin Dick, all the way from Milwaukee. Wow! You know, Dick, how great to see you. Carol, how are you doing? You know, and
we stopped everything.
The whole seminar just stopped for a few moments because Dick was just a fabulous guy. And everybody in the seminar was so happy that they met him because he is so filled with cheer, so filled with joy, so filled with happiness. His wife, Carol, is a lovely lady too. But she just sort of basks in Dick's happiness. I wonder if sometimes she thinks that's enough already. But I guess when you really have sincere joy and sincere cheer, it's never enough. And I think that's a big point for us to remember too, this word sincere. Because a lot of times we can have insincere joy and harmony and peace. For instance, people call on the phone and they say, I got a problem. We say, okay, what would you like as your solution? And they say, well, I want to be whole and perfect. We say, okay, you're whole and perfect. Well, now that doesn't do it. You can't just say that and have it happen. Oh, yes, you can. That's just the way it works. You change your mind, you change your attitude, you change your thinking, and you change your experience. You're whole and perfect. Now, do you like that? Do you think that's great? Do you think that's wonderful? Well, it's too good to be true. Well, stop saying that too. Because if you say that, then you cut yourself off from the experience. Just say, I accept. As Emerson, our wonderful early transcendentalist, has said, get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. We have our own opinions of what works and what doesn't work. Psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists and every way of walk of life, and doctors and lawyers and merchants and thieves, they all have said the same thing. A happy face begets happiness. If you live in a happy attitude, you will have a happy life. Well, but you don't know my troubles. And that's the point. Once you start having a happy attitude, you have a happy life, and your troubles just disappear like they were never there. And you sometimes, people come up to you and say, well, gee, I thought you were, you know, having a tough time there. You had this disease and, oh yes, that, yeah, that's been gone now. It's been weeks since I thought about that, you know. Don't bring it up, you know. No, I'm fine. I'm whole and perfect, you know. I talked to Ellen Jeremy, you know, and she says, you're whole and perfect. And I got so sick of her, I said, I don't want to hear you again. And then I went home, and I started saying to myself, I'm home perfect. She planted that seed in me, and then I was. I just changed my attitude, and I had to call Ellen back, and I had to say, Miss Jeremini, I must tell you that I didn't like you telling me I was home perfect. But it bugged me so much, I started saying it for myself, and by the next day, it was over with. That thing that I've been sitting around with, cooking in my body and cooking in my life for now almost 12 months, you know, 11 and some months, poof, gone. Just because I changed my mind and claimed a new gift. And you see, this is what cheer does. Cheer brings a whole new gift for us, a whole new happiness. And that's the way to fly. I know Ingeborg was telling me when she was living in El Central, at El Cajon, that she had many neighbors there who were speaking Spanish. And Ingeborg's Spanish was just not that good. She's good in Italian, good in German, good in English, all that other stuff, but Spanish is just a little puzzly, right? But they would ask her questions because they knew she was in the healing game. And she would just say to them, you're whole and perfect. And someone nearby who translated for them, Ingeborg didn't say a lot. She just said the right words. And they said to their friend, she said, you're whole and perfect. What? How can she say that? You're whole and perfect. She says that you're supposed to say you're whole and perfect. But Yes, she is. And, you know, there's no argument for Ingeborg. Ingeborg didn't have to hear all the problems. She didn't have to hear all the garbage. She only gave the response that only we know how to give, and that I don't mean we, but that only the only one that we do give is that you're whole and perfect. And many times, I don't know how many times, you had three or four of them that you had there in a period of a month where the people's lives were just completely changed. Now, that's the Spanish-speaking people. Now, what she did to the Americans over there and the English-speaking people, I have no idea, because she was out there telling them, you're dude, you're good, you're fantastic, you're glorious, you're wonderful. And they said, we like that lady. We like that lady. And when she moved back up here to the ranch, they said, don't go. We'll pay your rent. And Ingeborg says, thank you very much. But this has been paradise, and now I'm going to my other paradise. I've been down here on a retreat, and now I'm ready to go back. So, you see, when we cheer up other people, we cheer up ourselves. When we bring joy into the lives of others, we bring joy into the lives of ourselves. When we look at what is right and good and beautiful for us, then we find everything. Are you ready for that? I'm ready for that. I think it's a great idea. Mark Twain said, the best way to cheer yourself up is to cheer everybody else up. And I concur. I love you. I love you. I love you.